You're listening to SBS News.
Israel's attack on Hamas officials in Doha, Qatar, has been met with widespread international condemnation. Five Hamas members died, along with one security official from Qatar. What effect will this incident have on the peace process? Ian Parmiter is a research scholar and PhD candidate at the Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies at the Australian National University, and he's been speaking to SBS's Cameron Carr.
This is an attack on a state that was well known to Israel, was not an enemy as such, and was actually attempting to mediate a ceasefire. Even though the actual targets, direct human targets, were members of Hamas, these members of Hamas were reportedly meeting to discuss the latest ceasefire proposal, which the United States and Qatar had put to them. So it doesn't fit into the same category as the attack on, say, Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran in July last year, or the attacks on Lebanon and Yemen. So it's an attack which really is puzzling, particularly since they don't appear to have got Donald Trump on side with it in advance, and the in fact, President Trump has made it clear that he dissociates himself from what the Israelis have done. The point here is that the state of Qatar is actually a strong ally of the United States. The United States has a major military base in Qatar, and it really relies on the state of Qatar to assist it in its positioning for any possible attacks on Iran. So it's a very odd thing for the Israelis to have done, and has drawn condemnation from all around the world. I don't think any state at this stage has actually said that they support what Israel has done.
And since October 7, we know Israel has killed several top Hamas leaders. Now, it's reportedly, I think, from Hamas themselves, they've said they were lower-ranking members. I think Israel disputes that. But, you know, with this latest strike, what does this mean for Hamas's, you know, leadership capabilities overall?
Well, probably doesn't make much difference. In fact, every time Israel has killed a Hamas leader, there have been several strikes that have killed very senior people in Hamas. Someone else eventually comes up to take their place. And this is the whole problem with trying to destroy Hamas. It's obviously a political movement, but more than that, it's an ideology. And the only way that an ideology can be destroyed is by countering with a better ideology, which is what Israel really needs to do. It's not something which is going to make a difference to the Hamas strategy. New individuals will constantly keep emerging, and it's an interesting point that earlier this year in January, Anthony Blinken, who was then Secretary of State in the United States, before he stepped down just before the inauguration of the Trump administration, made the point that US intelligence showed that Hamas had recruited almost as many new followers and militants as Israel had destroyed. So this aim of destroying Hamas is something that's going to be very difficult for Israel to achieve. They'll be able to reduce its capabilities, but to destroy it as an ideology is, I think, impossible.
And we touched on it before about how this, you know, appears to be a targeted attack specifically against Hamas members who are negotiating for that ceasefire in Qatar, which they've been mediating with the US. So how could this strike impact ceasefire efforts in the region? Will it make a difference?
It will make a very big difference. If you are serious about negotiations, you don't try to kill the other side's negotiators. And that's what Israel appears to have tried to do this time. it does raise questions all around the world as to the extent to which Israel is serious about negotiating a ceasefire with Hamas, and it clearly does upset the efforts by a number of countries to try to find a way to create a ceasefire, which clearly is very much needed, not only by the Palestinians and Palestinian civilians in Gaza, but also by the families of the hostages, who will be reinforced, I think, in their belief that Prime Minister Netanyahu is prioritizing his own political survival over the release of the hostages, which is what is now being openly said among those trying to put pressure on the Netanyahu government to effect the release of the hostages.
So in that case, if Netanyahu's ceasefire efforts appear insincere, so to speak, what does that say about Israel's ambitions in the region then? So if not a ceasefire, then what are they looking to achieve?
What it says about Israel's ambitions in the region, quite clearly Israel, the Netanyahu government wants to ensure the safety of Israel. I think we can be clear on that. But it's doing it in a way which it is aimed at destroying its enemies. It's destroying its enemies in not only in Qatar, of course, in Gaza, in Yemen, and also in Lebanon, and of course also in Iran. So the aim of Israel at this stage appears to be to use all the methods at its disposal to degrade the capabilities of its enemies. The big problem is that, and I've been working on the Middle East for nearly 50 years, the big problem is that no enemy in the Middle East is ever completely destroyed. At some point, they do reconstitute their abilities and they become more of a threat. The only way to resolve problems in the Middle East is through negotiation. And it was through negotiation that Israel was able to make peace with Egypt, which was a remarkable achievement. And I was in Egypt at the time when that happened. But also peace with Jordan, and also the Abraham Accords, peace with the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco. So it's negotiation which will create security for Israel, not further violence.